You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Get on the hot foot.
Oh, yeah.
And that, too.
Ow.
John and Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
On a very chilly afternoon here.
But, you know, dancing is a good way to stay warm, though.
Try it chilly. Out. Yeah. Try it on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Crossing the street.
Right. Why not?
Like that guy with the fox mask on in Minneapolis. Yeah.
That's a hilarious video. Did we put that? I think I put that on our Facebook
page.
Did you?
I hope it's up there.
If we didn't, because we will.
That is truly one of the great videos. It's the whole dance, right? It's the whole dance. He's starting and no one's really paying attention to him. He just keeps dancing and then
the ICE agents are just standing there watching him for a while.
And then they just piled on him.
Let's go get this guy. Oh, he's God. Annoying.
Yeah. Now I complain about my gas bill. It was just outrageous. Yeah. It was over $500, first time in my entire life,
especially with
my computerized heating system that I have.
Is it really?
Yes. No, it really is. It's computer controlled.
I mean,
the thermostats are much more advanced than they were in the old days, you know, with the switch at the bottom that you...
I like those old ones.
Heat, nothing, cold.
Right. Then you turn the little dial there and
yes,
you can tell
little dial with
it clicks in.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore, my friend. Well, and it's much better.
How come your bill is so high? I've seen your house. It's not that enormous.
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah. Why?
Because... Yeah. And this is from Madison Minutes. You can always subscribe to them.
Yeah.
But they explained it. Finally, right? We're in the middle of the damn month. Thanks for letting us know. Finally, if your bill caused your blood to boil, you're not alone. Both Alliant Energy and Madison Gas and Electric raised their rates for natural gas and electricity starting January 1st.
Wow.
Some residents can expect to pay as much as $100 more for heat this winter, which is me.
Yeah.
Okay, I think they just raised my bill.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing, you know, gas prices at the pump, a little bit down. I get it, you know.
Yeah.
Food prices are up. And then, of course, natural gas prices are up. Now, they're putting in place and they're firing up the old coal plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're firing up some natural gas plants.
Okay.
But now that natural gas is very expensive, why is it expensive? I didn't even know this was coming. I don't think anybody knew this was happening.
No, never heard anything about it.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
It's pretty open. It's an open government here. You know, you really have to admire the Trump administration for keeping us all informed here.
Well, but grocery prices, though, are definitely up. Yeah.
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 I mean, it's just ridiculous. And again, What was the statistic? It was like 94%.
Something like that.
94% of the public is paying extra this year on the tariffs.
Yeah. Okay, because of the tariffs.
Because of the tariffs.
Yes.
It's an extra tax on all of us.
Yeah, great.
I want to get to something a little bit more serious. Obviously, what's going on in Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's just as outrageous as possible. And, you know, we saw J.D. Vance talking about, you know, let's tone it down. Let's work together.
Yeah, trying to lower the temperature.
You know, again, you know, J.D., this is Kristi Noem's thing. You know, that's her department. That's what she should be doing. Mm. Now we're finding out that these ICE agents are allowed to break into people's homes and take them out. That they have the right to do that. This is a new right.
They can just take them right out of their houses.
Yes.
Yeah. Warrant.
Yeah. So why don't we get to this first story that I have for you. This is ICE abusing a father and a son who were on their way to school, okay? Mm-hmm. This story was on last night on MS Now. So MS Now. So let's listen.
Continues to film.
Wow.
Yep.
Incredible, isn't it?
Man.
That's the kind of story we're going to hear more of, and unfortunately that is something I think we all predicted would happen when you put masks on ICE agents.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give them
you
give them the power to go into homes without any kind of search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story. Yeah. And it's affecting kids mostly. I mean, we're hearing a lot about what's happening to these kids.
Yes. So, and, you know, and they were carrying guns and ammunition and everything, coming in fully loaded, ready to go.
Yes.
Beat down the door and grab people.
Well, everybody knows,
them out.
Knows that Commander Greg Bovino, right? Mm. I mean, he looks like Sergeant Fury in his Howling Commandos, you know. He's, by the way, I think he's like 5'3". You know, he's really, really short.
Somebody pointed this out yesterday. Excuse me. Why are they wearing camo? What are they trying to camo? Yeah. What are they trying to blend into in Minneapolis wearing camo?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, it's, you know, it's that new camo siding on houses, so you can
sneaking around in the bushes in camo.
Yes, and, you just, you know,
right
flush up
the
against
house.
The siding, the camo siding,
camo,
and there you are.
That
no
camo
one sees
siding.
You.
Yeah, that's right. What are they doing?
Okay. Now, here's a tragic story. It seems like the students are being targeted as well. Greg Bovino and his Border Patrol agents deployed toxic green chemical gas linked to burning skin and eyes, coughing, vomiting, chest pain, and serious respiratory injury with the risk of delayed and long-term lung damage. They were throwing canisters of this particular gas out into this crowd.
Right.
Right outside a park and playground down the street from an elementary school in Minneapolis immediately after dismissal. So there were kids all over the place when they decided to do this. And a school bus was forced to drive straight through the gas.
Hmm.
Let's listen to what it sounded like here. That's Bovino there shouting. Yeah. Yeah, there's a green fog hanging in the air there, and that's the stuff that can burn your skin, your eyes, coughing, vomiting, chest pain, and serious lung damage long term, even especially for kids.
Yeah, we actually saw this happening.
Yeah, we saw a clip of that.
Yeah,
yeah. Children were heading to the park, and buses were transporting kids home at the time. Mm-hmm. Just a sidewalk filled with protesters. That's all it was. They weren't blocking traffic. They weren't out in the street.
Right. Nonviolent.
They just decided to, they were driving by and they decided to stop and throw canisters of this toxic chemical gas.
Right.
So
unbelievable. Yeah.
That's just happening. Just And they're ad-libbing this. This is
making it all up. Yeah.
Intimidating the American people in this country. And this story, I suppose, gets out there and everybody starts reading it and they're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, and this is normalizing this kind of situation.
Well, and it's destroying the businesses in downtown Minneapolis. They're telling us that, you know, they're vacant. I mean, people are afraid to go out of their houses.
Yes, nothing's stopping them.
Yeah,
they can't be stopped.
Yeah, they're afraid to go to work. They're afraid to go to school or church or, you know, go shopping.
That's right.
Everybody's hunkering down there.
And you're getting sued by the federal government in case you do say something. They're trying to intimidate you from saying anything to the public, warning them, because it could be that you're tipping off those individuals about the ICE agents being in your neighborhood, or you're trying to stop the ICE agents from finding these people. In some way, shape, or form, they're trying to tag all these people that are trying to help the other citizens as people who should be accused of felonies, stopping the government from doing their job, supposedly. I don't think this is exactly their job.
No. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Yeah.
Going to talk to him about some of the goings-on in Minneapolis and a lot of other topics as well.
I want to bottom line this, of course. You know, we talked a little bit about Jack Smith.
Yeah.
So I got a little clip.
In front of Congress.
Yeah, again, it's pretty obvious what he's going to say here. It's 304. Listen. That's it. I mean, that's really all you need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it was pretty interesting watching Jack Smith answer some of the ridiculous questions posed to him by the Republicans.
Yeah, he's very straightforward. He was asked by one of the Republicans, you know, why did you only indict President Trump in this when you had 15 or 16 other people in that in your investigation and you were labeling them as co-conspirators? Why did you only indict the president? And he said, well, because I was relieved of my duties.
There
after
you go.
I did
it's your fault.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he was ready to indict the rest of them. But he hadn't gotten to that part of the paperwork yet before they took him out.
I didn't hear his response, although he was asked about the phone records that he asked for, you know, of the senators. Remember? And the senators were just outraged for being a part of the investigation, but they really had a part in the investigation simply because they were trying to overturn the election. And, of course, they wanted some of the details of the phone records, but they weren't highly detailed. They were just basically, you know, who called when and what time.
Yeah, what phone numbers were used.
So that was it. But he defended that. I'm going to look for that clip. Maybe he had a better explanation, a pretty good explanation, better one than I just gave here on the air. So.
Okay. We're coming right back after this short break.
You can call me John, not Jack.
Okay. It's John and Gordy after this, not Jack.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah. It's John and Gordy. You know, it's funny because next hour we'll be talking about Trump butchering the golden goose.
What?
Yes, the golden goose. This was something in the Bulwark, which was really an interesting article, an analysis of what's going on and what Trump is doing to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a look at that and dissect it.
Phone lines are open.
And kill it. We're going to kill the goose.
Okay.
All right. Dissect that story.
855-752-4842. Let's go to the phones right now to Madison. Joe is on the line. Good afternoon, Joe. Go ahead.
That audio that you shared of the father and son is just harrowing. And I would ask people to you know, not only is it awful, but it's costing us tons and tons of money to do this. Mm-hmm. When, as I've suggested to you before, if you want to get illegal immigration done, finished in the United States, put the CEOs in prison. And there's legislation or bills that legislation that allows people to our system to do that. But of course we won't, because it just is so much more dramatic to have the guys running through Minneapolis with camo. Speaking of business, I wanted to return. Now, also, I did want to ask you if you can ask Mr. Santel in the next half hour. You were saying that the people in the ICE in Minneapolis is saying that they can go in despite having an official warrant with, you know, that's signed by a magistrate. And I'd really be interested to hear what Jim has to say about that.
Yes.
It sounds like they're really throwing that out the window. But I wanted to return to the Greenland thing. Number one, if this is so important for our safety and our security, wouldn't Alaska be kind of important for Putin? And wouldn't Putin be able to jump in there and say, gee, we need this to feel safer, so you guys leave and we want it?
Yeah, they could have done that a long time ago. There's not a lot of troops up there in Alaska.
Exactly. And I had spoken with you yesterday about just some of the difficulties of putting a mining industry in Greenland. You know, if you want to spend a whole lot of money, maybe you could. But there was an article that not from some left-wing rag, but from, hey, Fortune, and it was about the poor case it is for trying to make this stuff happen in Greenland. And I was talking to you about the Greenland ice shield. I didn't know that this thing covers 80% of Greenland, and the average thickness of the Greenland ice shield is a mile deep. In some places, it's close to 2 miles deep.
Wow.
And it's like, Jesus, yeah. And they're going through the list of, they said that, you know, I mean, number one, you get all that ice. Number two, it's just, there's no port. There are very few ports. You know, you don't have a mining industry already established. You need roads. You need electrification. And here's one, polar bears. I'd forgotten about polar bears. You know, there's an issue trying to do business up there. But I would commend to anybody that wants to get a very thorough look at what a business how a business entity looks at this whole idea of mining in Greenland. And as one person said, well, you know, just look around. If this could have been done to this point, it probably would have been done, you know, and it hasn't been done. And they had a great line within the article that, I mean, sometimes it's just one line sums it up so well. They said, here, ambition runs up against reality.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Yeah.
Great.
So,
yeah.
You know, because we may be returning. I mean, just the fact that he's temporarily swayed away from this doesn't mean it's a permanent thing.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Joe. Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Appreciate
to check
it.
Out
yeah,
that
those
Fortune
are good
article.
Points. I guess you really have to kind of think about it. Yeah, why hasn't anybody tried to get those minerals before this?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know what? Trump has some really good ideas.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones to Portage. Here's Trace. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. Once again, I am completely stupefied by the idiocy of the entire administration.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, you know, I don't see any kind of ICE presence in any of the border states, which kind of is blowing my mind, because I know Texas and Arizona have loads more of undocumented people there than Minnesota does.
Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of guys who were bullied in high school cosplaying as police officers.
Yeah.
And right. I saw the story about them using a 5-year-old boy to bait the parents out of the house.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering how anybody can justify these actions. And I can only hope, you know, the only sliver of hope I have in this complete degeneracy is I just think back to Nuremberg, because every single one of these guys has signed up for their little bonus to go cosplay an army man.
Right.
They're going to have to answer for this eventually. And when the tides turns, they're all going to have their day in court. And they're going to have to speak to the American people, and just following orders isn't going to cut it.
That's
so
right.
I'm disgusted beyond belief at this point, and I don't really know what to do anymore.
There is some hope, Trace. You know, the Democrats are promising to hold all of these people accountable. It's not getting even. It's just holding accountable. I appreciate your call on that. I do want to get to this five-year-old boy, though.
Yes.
ICE has sparked condemnation after reports that a five-year-old boy had been detained in Minnesota and used as bait. Zena Stenvik, the Columbia Heights superintendent, told reporters on Wednesday, "Why detain a five-year-old? You can't tell me that this child is going to be classified as a violent criminal." Masked agents, by the way, stopped five-year-old Liam Ramos in his driveway as he arrived from home from school with his father. Another adult living in the home was outside and begged the agents to let him take care of the small child. It's cold out there, you know, and was refused. Liam's family has an active asylum case and no deportation orders. So that's why the agents were there in the first place. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have been there because they've got an active case.
Yeah. 29 minutes past the hour, we'll check in with the Midwest Farm Report, and then former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will join us, and more of your phone calls, 855-752-4842, back in just a moment or two.
Winner of Go-Go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the winner of Go-Go as we had a nice cold temperatures in the area.
Oh, boy, we're going to be in the deep freeze over the weekend,
we
it
are.
Sounds like. Wind chills down to 40 or 50 below. It's going to get crazy, but try to stay warm.
We've got Attorney Jim Santel coming up in just a moment, but first let's take a call from Charles. Charles, what do you got for us today?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, you know, there's reports out there with this whole Greenland thing that he's really after Greenland because some billionaire donor would like to get the, you know, minerals in that.
Sure, mining rights.
That are supposedly, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so there's a possibility that he's doing all of this for some billionaire donor. And like I said yesterday, he's making it where America will be hated. Even with the things that they're doing here with ICE, people will not like America. And if something bad happens in America, it'll be because of him and his horribleness. And another question, did you guys hear about the boat strike today in the Caribbean?
No.
No, what happened?
No, because there aren't anymore. All of a sudden, no more boat strikes.
Yes, isn't that funny how that works? No drugs are being smuggled at all now.
No, not anymore. Just like no more caravans. After every election, there's no more caravans.
Right?
That's right.
You know, you're right, Charles.
Oh,
thanks for keeping an eye on things.
It's just
a
coincidence, that's all.
Charles, thank you for that call. Yeah. All right, now let's welcome in Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. Good to have you with us again, Jim.
Gentlemen, good to be with you as always. Lots and lots of things to chat about.
We do. We had a caller who wanted to know why these ICE agents are able to enter in and break into people's homes and take them out without a warrant. What's the story?
Yeah.
So where this is coming from is, believe it or not, back in 2025, just last year, there was an internal memorandum written by a person inside ICE that said, yeah, go ahead and bust down doors if you've got an administrative warrant. And so this is what these ICE agents are being taught, that this is a legitimate legal proposition and you may go and do it. Now, that doesn't absolve them of the responsibility to follow the Constitution, but the Constitution is the big point here. I did this for 30 years. You have privacy rights in your home. That's the Fourth Amendment. That's James Madison stuff, right? It's been around for 237 years. And there are a couple of circumstances under which, again, that what the Fourth Amendment says is you're free from unreasonable searches and seizures. What does that mean? It means that if the government comes to your door, if they're local police, if they're ICE agents, if they're county officers, and they have a judicially authorized search warrant, that is a judge has looked at this and said, Mr. Santel, in your home, you've got evidence of a crime. You've got a meth lab going on. You've got guns that are going on. You're doing human trafficking. And a judge has made that determination that there is probable cause to believe that there is a crime either going on or evidence of the crime in that location, then yes, indeed, the agents have the obligation to go in, but the right to go in. That's a warrant, right? The other circumstance is if they come to your door and knock on your door and say, can we come in? and you give consent. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can give consent. You can limit it to particular areas in the home, that kind of thing. Mm, okay. Those are the two areas. Again, there's also a thing called exigent circumstance. If somebody is running away from a horrific event or bank robbery or something else, and they dart into your home, yes, agents can follow into the home because mm-hmm. that's called, you know, a flight, right? Mm-hmm. A hot pursuit.
Yep.
But those are the circumstances under which, again, under the Fourth Amendment, your privacy right in your home can be affected. There is a memorandum, once again, that basically tosses all of that out. And the mere fact that somebody inside the Immigration and Customs Enforcement authors a memorandum, and it purports to be real, and it purports to be an accurate statement of the law, does not make it so. And yet, that's the basis upon which I'm sure the listener in the last segment, that's where this is coming from. And that's why they're doing this out there, because they're being told by their supervisors at the highest level, go ahead and do this. Again, another reason, you're making lists of them today, as you always do. Another reason why to shake your head in abject disbelief that this is America that's going on. This is not consistent. These arrests, again, without probable cause, all the events you're describing, the apprehension of children, these kinds of things, the beatings and so forth that you were reviewing in your last segments or so, all of them have huge constitutional problems. And yes, that I know reduces this very serious human situation to a legal one. But the listeners should know that this is not only is it not America. If you go in, the problem is, you know, what is the remedy? Well, it's lawsuits. Judges will find that what they're doing is unconstitutional and wrong and illegal. And when, as your previous caller said, when one day this is over and there's accounting for it, all the proper standards come back in place, and all of this bad behavior gets reviewed under the ways in which it should be reviewed right now.
Now, is there any accountability for the person who put that memorandum together? Is that like an illegal act?
All right. That's the next issue, right? You've got a supervisor here. You know, it's hard to bring a criminal case if you're authoring a memorandum like this, but if you put into effect something that does cause
yes.
harm to people, can you be exposed to the same kind of thing that you're causing people to do? This is, as one of your listeners said, this is kind of the Nuremberg situation, right?
Yeah.
You've got a supervisor who says, do this. You don't get protection if what you're doing is again, unconstitutional, immoral, illegal. And the person who's telling you at the highest level doesn't get protection either just because he or she happens to be in a position where they're writing an unfounded memorandum.
Yeah.
Jim, isn't there a difference between the judicial warrant and administrative warrant? I thought the ICE agents were mainly using administrative warrants,
right.
But they need judicial warrants in order to actually go into a house.
Right. And again, they absolutely. So a huge amount is being made. Oh, we've got an administrative warrant, right? And again, is there such a thing? Absolutely. It comes from the agency itself. Mm-hmm. It says that Jim Santel is almost certainly a you know, fugitive from the law or has an immigration issue. But it's a finding from the very people who would otherwise go to a federal judge to get that determination. Mm-hmm. And so it is a less compelling warrant. It is a warrant. And if, again, you're presented with it, you can abide by it if you want to. But this notion of, well, they've got an administrative warrant and that is sufficient, not under the Constitution. And again, any good lawyer will tell you that these kinds of things, just again, it's like the memorandum. I can author a piece of paper that says that John or Gordy, Dom have done something and give that to someone. That doesn't mean it gives you the right to execute on things. So,
damn, I was really wanting to. Never mind. We'll talk about that later, Jim.
Right.
I wanted extra rights around here.
Lots
and I guess
problems.
I won't get
there. Lots
out.
Of problems yeah. there. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey. Well, why don't you fill us in on the Supreme Court hearing where they were kicking around the idea of Trump having the ability to fire the federal governor or the Fed
right.
governor rather.
Right, exactly. This has been around for a while. We know that Jerome Powell apparently is being investigated by this administration
yeah.
for what? We're not quite sure. Maybe
the building.
He lied about some
building.
Renovation.
Yes,
renovation. Building there on in yeah. Washington, D.C. But yeah, this goes to a longstanding issue, and it goes to one of your least favorite issues, which again is the unitary executive theory, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the notion that the Federal Reserve, an independent agency created by the Congress to be independent, to do what? To make decisions about economic issues and interest rates, all those kinds of things that should not be political, is independent of the White House, independent of the legislature as well. Donald Trump comes along, he wants to fire Lisa Cook. She is the one who's at the center of this maelstrom, mm-hmm. and maintaining that there was some kind of a mortgage fraud, which apparently is everybody's problem now in Washington, D.C., right? That mm-hmm. she's engaged in mortgage fraud, and on that basis wants to fire her. Thankfully, the Supreme Court previously said, in one of those rare instances where they did not go along with the president, said, no, we're going to keep her in place. And we finally had the oral argument just yesterday on whether or not he's got the authority to do this, and specifically whether or not there's a reason to fire her. And it sure looks as if the majority of the Supreme Court, including people like Brett Kavanaugh, maybe even Sam Alito, other people, in addition to others, are very, very skeptical and are not going to give the president the authority to terminate somebody in this position. All kinds of big issues having to do with due process, among other things. Your Solicitor General, this fellow named John Sauer, we've talked about him before. He's the one with the really raspy voice who speaks even more quickly than I do, right? Which is something, I guess, right? And he ends up defending the president, saying, well, when they ask, what due process has Ms. Cook gotten to release her? What is the process here? You've got to have something. And he ends up saying, well, the president said on social media that she must resign now, with 3 exclamation points. That's notice, and that's enough.
Wow.
That's wild. That's just wild for the chief advocate in front of the Supreme Court to say that. Federal independence, the Fed independence is here. And this is also, again, your other least favorite issue. This is also coming before the Supreme Court as a part of its emergency docket. They basically looked at the Solicitor General and said, this is a razor-thin record. What are we doing here? They will almost certainly send this back to the lower court to develop more standards, develop more information. It's not done, probably, but they're not embracing this notion that Donald Trump should be able to fire her.
All right. I know Kavanaugh came out and he said that this could shatter the Federal Reserve independence. So
right. Mm-hmm. No small thing for Brett Kavanaugh to say, right?
I know. That's an amazing thing.
Exactly. So, again, the only other concern here is, of course, that we talked a few months ago about this other case involving the FTC and this one named Slaughter. Remember her? And it appears that the Supreme Court there was going to give the president permission to fire her, different agency. But that's the situation, you may recall. Well, they're probably going to overturn 90 years of precedent. Mm-hmm. This king thing called Humphrey's executor, remember this? And so we've got all kinds of different things going on here with respect to the president's power. But the president did not have a good day yesterday in the Supreme Court.
I want to go back here because we've got a couple of responses here in our text. One is, do any of these states that ICE is in and breaking into houses have the ability to use the stand your ground laws, the castle law?
Right. And again, a lot of it depends upon the particular state. We know that not all states have passed that sort of thing. Right. But again, if you are affirmatively being attacked, right, you can stand your ground. That's basically the notion there. This is, again, in the same category, but a little bit different. Here it is that you've got the government coming in and saying, we are coming in. Mm. And yes, that may be viewed by some as an attack. I would go back to the notion that I shouldn't have to rely upon the local or the state statutes. This is a constitutional violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
And let's put that at the top of the list.
All right.
Talking with Jim Santel here, we got another text. Jim,
right. Private property signs, does that help in any way as well?
Right. So, and I suspect your caller, your texter there is talking about another Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court also was dealing with guns. And this was coming out of Hawaii. And whether or not, for example, can you bring a concealed handgun to a grocery store or to a beachside restaurant? Mm-hmm. And that was the situation where that issue came up. It appears that the Supreme Court's going to uphold a private and public issue, and we can chat more about that.
All right, exactly we will.
Coming back with Jim Santel right after this brief timeout, it's John and Gordy. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's John and Gordy.
We've got a few more minutes here with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Yeah. We've got a few more texts coming in as well.
And it looks like we really struck a nerve, Jim, in regards to people are really worried here in Wisconsin. I mean, it's so close. Minnesota's right over there. Right. You know, they're worried about, you know, their own safety, their own homes, so walking around downtown wondering
going out,
if there's going to be an ICE agent there. And they're kind of, you know, worried about what can happen, what their rights might be. We have one from Michael here. He says, when the president issues a blanket pardon to these ICE goons, what recourse will the American people have to hold those involved accountable?
Right. So, again, we were just chatting about this. My suspicion, I'm anticipating journalists will do more of an analysis, is that many of these people were among those 1,500 people pardoned, and no training. We give them a gun. We don't require they engage in a lot of physical activity here, and we send them out there with probably bad training, if any, out there. And the answer, of course, is that yes, they're still obliged to follow the law. They are federal officials, they're federal agents, and are required to do what the law mandates here. Mm-hmm. And again, on the streets, they've got to have reasonable suspicion to believe that someone is committing a crime. And that could include being here illegally. But you've got to always say, what is that reasonable suspicion? That you know, you can't just go up to somebody and arrest them because you don't like the color of their skin or where they're located.
Although Kavanaugh said you can do that, you know, if you have like three or four reasons why you want to do it.
Right. And that's again, that's what the Supreme Court has said. You're recalling very well what Brett Kavanaugh said about all that. But again, there are standards in America. If this is happening to people, you know, this is not an advocacy for full employment by lawyers, but you do have to go in and file lawsuits against these folks to hold them responsible, to stop them from doing what they're doing. We have had judges who have said you can't engage in this kind of behavior, and you can get monetary damages. It may not be right away. That's cold comfort, I know, for an awful lot of people who are facing these problems right now in this hour, in this moment. But there should be some recourse, and there is. But it requires work. And again, the government is here to serve us, right? Mm-hmm. It's not here to attack us. Right. And that's the problem that's going on now. And
if they get blanket immunity, and they've been told that they have immunity, but if they get a blanket pardon, can they get off? Can we not sue them at that point? And would it become a civil issue that they could do something in their states?
Right. The president's pardon of all these folks were for January 6th, right? And things related to
but
that.
But I think this, once he's out of office, these current ICE agents are going to be up for, you know, being accountable for what they've done.
Absolutely. And regardless of when it is, the pardons were imposed, were given to them to forgive, basically. Mm-hmm. Amazing word. January 6th, right? Mm-hmm. And if I get a pardon today for January 6th and I go rob a bank tomorrow, that pardon doesn't cover me. And so the things that they're doing now that are violations of the law, that are affecting people so dramatically, can they be pursued for that? Sure they can. And again, under other circumstances, you would have an ICE agent right now would be under investigation by the federal government for killing the woman who was
Brittany
in
Good.
That automobile, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Ms. Good. And so you know, the answer is the pardons do not protect you indefinitely. You don't just get a lifelong pardon and go out there and do everything you want to do, engage in criminal activity. That's not how it works. And yet people think that, right? It's just plain wrong. And the president somehow encourages that sort of reckless behavior and that notion that somehow the vice president said this, they've got immunity. Yes. The answer is no, Mr. Vice President. There's a thing called qualified immunity, but there's not absolute immunity for doing these kinds of things. It's a much larger issue. But again, instructing the people of the United States of America improperly. That's wrong. He's a lawyer. He knows better than that. Boy. You can be held responsible for your criminally, constitutionally infirm actions. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. And he said just the opposite to America.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Something should be done about that. Hold accountable. Anyway,
right.
Now let's get to the case that the Supreme Court listened to in regards to the gun law in Hawaii.
Right. This one, is a law there basically requires that gun owners get permission before they carry a firearm onto private property, open to the public. We're talking about like a gas station, a beachside restaurant, a grocery store, where you go in and you know this is owned by a private person, but it's kind of a public venue. And those folks who own those have said, I'm going to require you not to have a weapon. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court deciding whether or not that is proper appears that they're going to overturn the wow. the law that prohibits the carrying of guns onto those properties.
We're losing rights here. It seems yes. like we're losing a lot
yeah. right.
through this court. Wow.
And we'll see what they do. But again, another yeah. gun case that probably based upon Second Amendment stuff, this craziness related to reviewing things that are historically predicates. That's also a part of this case, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, before we wrap up here, we want to mention, let's shift gears a little bit. You're making a personal appearance of sorts.
You're performing.
You're going to be on stage here soon. You've been acting in a play, a presentation, a reading.
Right.
Tell us what this is about.
Right. Of a play called Angels in America. I suspect many of your listeners know about it. This is Tony Kushner, Pulitzer Prize winner, Tony winner, Emmy winner. It's an amazing play. And yes, indeed, you may or may not be surprised to hear that I'm again, it is a staged production. It
right.
is not a full production,
okay.
a reading, if you will. I'm playing Roy Cohen, and the play itself is a dramatic statement 30 years later on what we're doing in America. And I'll say this and tantalize people to come. It's going to be in February 5th, it's going to be at the Jewish Community Center, a wonderful venue in Milwaukee. Roy Cohen, yeah. again, is Donald Trump's origin story. And everything Donald Trump does comes from Roy Cohen. And this play, in many ways, confirms that. The name calling, the derision, the lack of respect for justice and people, mm-hmm. all of that comes from Roy Cohen.
All right. We'll get you to perform that on the show
we need
sometime
to take
in the
it,
future.
Yeah.
Very good, Jim. Thanks for joining us. You can catch Jim Santel at Amicus a Law Review on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
2 hour show.
It's a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thanks,
Stay
Jim.
Warm.
We're coming back with more of John and Gordy. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.